Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Headline in Reuters. Kremlin says Moldova's elections were not free and results raise questions. I welcome Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Ivana knows the Balkans very well. She knows this part of the world. This is Moldova. That means the Black Sea Basin, where the war is. The Moldovan neighbors include Ukraine to the north and east, and Romania to the west and south. It has a port on the Danube River. It's a little country. It used to be called Bessarabia. It was part of the Soviet Empire for many decades. It is now independent, and it is right now dealing with the results of an election. I'll read the headline. Moldova's elections were not free, and results showed a hard-to-explain increase of votes in favor of President Sandu and the European Union as the count proceeded, according to the Kremlin. What's the Kremlin doing in Moldova? Ivana, a very good evening to you. Moldova, I believe there are less than 2 million people there. It's been under threat as long as the Ukraine war has been engaged. What is your measure of this protest by Dmitry Peskov from the Kremlin? Why are they complaining? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you very much for inviting me. Indeed, Moldova just voted in favor of basically joining the European Union. And although the vote was won by a narrow margin in a referendum, actually, this is a step in the right direction. This actually shows that Russia is losing its allies. And as you have mentioned, Russia has been trying to destabilize Moldova for years. Even though it's a tiny, tiny country and it's not part of the European Union or NATO, the West should actually pay attention to it because Russia has been using Moldova as a proxy to destabilize Europe and to cause chaos. Russia doesn't need to actually send tanks and jets there. All Moscow really needs to do is to use cyber attacks, information operations, sabotage. We already saw recently reports by certain individuals that were even trained in the Balkans with Russia's help to destabilize Moldova. Why? Because Russia really, really wants to show that the West is a paper tiger. And there are two particular spots. One is the Gagauzian, the other one is Transnistria that are vulnerable. I remember I spoke with you a long time ago about Moldova, and I was significantly more pessimistic than I am today about the country. And the reason why I'm more optimistic, it is because the U.S. has been trying to help Moldova for quite some time with influence operations and cybersecurity, but also certain countries in the European Union. This is really a step in the right direction. Now, as you mentioned, Russia is, of course, not happy, and they are claiming that these elections were not free, that they were staged, that this was all plotted by the West. And apparently, I'm not surprised because Russia actually spent a lot of money in the country trying to destabilize through its proxies. I don't want to sound too idealistic about what's happening right now in Moldova because the situation is still not fantastic because even though this was Russia's defeat, it doesn't mean that at some point in the near future, Russia might not want to try to destabilize the country. And that's why we should continue to support Moldova. My last point regarding this, we have to think in a more holistic way about what is happening in Eastern and Central Europe. as well as caucuses. Why? Because we also have to pay attention to what's happening right now in Georgia with the elections, because this is all connected. And Georgia is, people in Georgia are taking to the streets, protesting against the government, and they're watching what's happening in Moldova. So this is actually, I have to tell you, a massive boost for also fighting democracy in Georgia.
Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin have many tools, and we're talking about the challenge to the vote, a legitimate vote as far as anybody can tell outside of Moldova, for the EU, a straightforward matter that would be a success for the people of Moldova. Ivana has also written for The Telegraph about the other tools that the Kremlin employs to undermine the confidence in its enemies. That is, it uses the little green men in Crimea. It uses it challenge the vote as corrupt in Moldova. And in Ukraine and other parts of its former empire, it uses Christianity. How so, Ivana?
So basically, Russia, one of the key Russia's tools for influence operations, not only Ukraine, but globally, is indeed the Russian Orthodox Church, which has actually fully supported Putin's ambitions in Ukraine, in the neighborhood, but also in the West. And that is precisely why Zelensky has taken very important steps, basically banning churches linked to Moscow in order to safeguard national sovereignty, because the church has been used as a propaganda tool. But I have to tell you, this is really nothing new, because all we really need to do is to read carefully Russia's national security documents, how Russia is the pillar of traditional Mauryan spiritual values. Recently, Russia also published foreign policy concept that mirrors very similar statements. And you will often hear in Putin's speeches that Russia is indeed a pillar of traditional Mauryan spiritual values. Why? Because for Putin, in order to gather his allies globally, he needs a new ideology. And unfortunately, it's not that Putin, who grew up, you know, during communist time and who probably hated the church back then, is now a full supporter of the church, not because he genuinely believes in Christianity and Orthodox and the Orthodox Church, but rather because he understands that it's a very useful tool for intelligence operations. Especially also here in the West, there are numerous reports actually how Russia has been trying to influence different churches, including here evangelical church in the US. And you also have to take a look, for example, how Russia is operating in Russia, but also Ukraine. The church has played a tremendously important role, let alone they basically define this war as a holy war. They talk about that the West is full of Satanists and it's like an immoral West. But even just take a look at the Russia's Patriarch Kirill, because he reportedly worked for the KGB in Switzerland, according to Swiss newspapers.
We have 30 seconds, Ivana, 30 seconds.
Exactly. So you also have other individuals there who have been supporting Putin's war efforts. But we also have to understand that actually, while Russia is portraying Russia actually as a pillar of traditional Mauryan spiritual values, Russians are actually not overly religious. And according to some reports, only 9% of the Russians actually go to the church regularly. And that's why I keep saying we should absolutely not be fooled, because right. Putin's weaponization over the Orthodox Church, it's part of his geopolitical strategy.
Ivana Stradner, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.